Well, just at the moment, we know that the first and second stage fueling have taken place. Pardon me looking over my shoulder at the clock. You can see it better than can I. We're 21 and a half minutes away from launch time. And as I say, the first and second stage fueling has taken place. The post-fueling system test has also taken place some little time ago. The tracking system power is on. The control systems have powered up. The telemetry system power on will happen in a minute and a half from now, etc. So all is on schedule. The gas pipelines are being disconnected as we speak, and the later disconnectors will happen as well. So we're all looking good for the launch in 20 minutes or so's time from now. We have pictures from China, and we're also aware that in 14 minutes and 22 seconds, that rocket there in the late afternoon in Xichang will be taking our Optus B1 satellite up into space. That's the first time we've had these live pictures from China. That's a nice picture too. Nice and crisp, and that's the rocket. You can see there that the pipelines are just being disconnected now. The gas pipeline disconnection is underway. You can see too that the mobile tower has been pulled away from the side of the rocket, the Long March LM2E, that they're just doing all these status checkouts before removing the tower completely, but it's possible it'll just go a few more meters away from there now. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that the directors of Optus Communication Proprietary Limited would like me to let you know that whilst you are a VIP tonight, wherever you are watching this program, whether you are a person associated with us in Xichang in China there, and you can see the mission control room, and we'll explain who those people are in a few moments, let me just mention, if I could tonight, and welcome a very special guest here who's with us at the television studio in Sydney, Australia, and that person is the former managing director of OSAT Proprietary Limited, Graham Goswinkel. Graham, a very special welcome to you, as being a person who has guided much of this industry over some very tough years. And as you raise your glass, I know that's in salute, and with best wishes to Optus, we wish you every success as well, Graham. Very good to have you here, and I welcome you on behalf of the chairman and the board of Optus Communications Limited. Well, now, back to us, Dick, and back to China. You must feel very happy about seeing those pictures there in just looking at mission control. We might, in fact, have a look at... We don't have absolute control over the pictures coming to us, so we have to accept what's coming to us. We might leave China alone for just a few moments then and take advantage, again, of Graham Brown being in the Major City Earth Station. And Graham Brown... We won't be able to... There he is now. He's looking smilingly at us. Graham Good, would you just care to run us around those facilities tonight and tell us what we will be able to see as the launch goes by? Just give us a quick walk around those cameras, if you would, at Belrose, Graham.
Okay, certainly. I don't know exactly what you're seeing. Oh, here we go. That's a satellite control room. As you can see, the guys aren't doing too much at the moment, but they're watching live telemetry from the satellite right now. But the guys in that particular room is where they send the commands, and they haven't got much to do, so they're probably watching the television and keeping an eye on the networks to respond to any calls that come through, any problems that occur. There's obviously none happening because they all look pretty relaxed to me.
There could be no better Sunday night movie than this one for them to be watching out there, I should imagine.
No, themselves is probably pretty pleasing to them.
Would you just tell us again what you call that room? You showed us on videotape. Yes?
Yeah, that's the satellite control room. This is where we're operating the OSAT-A satellites from. This is where we'll be operating the Optus-B satellites from there. And it's also the position where all the commands are going up to the Optus-B satellite will be sent from the keyboards in this particular room. It's the satellite control room.
Well, there's a pleasant air of controlled relaxation throughout all of that. What else do you have to show us out at the MCES?
Okay, we'll go to the spacecraft engineering area. This is where all the satellite control experts are, the satellite engineering experts, the systems engineers. These guys, you can see some guys concentrating on the screens there. They're watching telemetry from the spacecraft in China. They're getting it via landlines at the moment, and they're making sure all the systems are okay. They also looked fairly relaxed.
Fellow up on the top right there playing golf on his VDU. Is that a good sign or bad, Graham?
That's a real good sign.
Good on you. Fine. Again, controlled relaxation. Yes, and what else do you have there?
We may be able to... I'm not too sure where else the camera is. Maybe there's a flight director's camera. We might be able to look straight in on a flight director.
What's his job when we get to him?
He goes through the script. He is following all the commands, taking advice from the spacecraft engineering experts and the orbital mechanics experts. He's getting the advice from them, but normally he's just reading through the script and following all the team through the sequence of events required to launch the satellite.
And these gentlemen here, what's on there?
They are the flight directors. We've got three of them there. They're from Hughes Aircraft Company. We supplement them with a couple of the OSSAT guys, but those three particular guys there from Hughes Aircraft Company.
How long has a person like yourself, Graham, been working with the Hughes people?
Oh, I go back a long way. I go back to about 1982. I first went to Los Angeles and have been working with Hughes Aircraft Company. I worked at their plant for 2 years and then I've been working very close with them all since then, since 1982 right through to now. We've worked very closely with Hughes.
Since the launch is getting near, we're going to stay with you, Graham, but since the launch is getting near, could you just run us through the timing approximately as to what happens after you do pick the satellite up at about 2 o'clock, 2:30 tomorrow morning, our time, at Belrose? What do you actually do with it then, and how does Belrose fit in to take control of it?
Okay, as I said previously, we receive the signals via the Allen Park Earth Station, which is in Canada. The very first thing we do when we pick up the satellite, and after the telemetry signals look okay, we have all the subsystems engineers check all that out and tell us that they're all nominal. Then we do a command check to the satellite. We ensure that we can command it correctly. Once we've done that, then we move off into the sequence of events leading up to jettisoning the spent perigee motor.
I guess you're able to give us an absolute assurance that whilst you have a lot of people in those areas there, nobody trips over anybody else, hey?
It's fairly relaxed at the moment. We do reduce the numbers in those rooms when we are doing important things, and there'll be people seated there, and it won't be quite as congested as it is at the moment.
And Graham, just take us a little further, if you would, into the future, and tell us about how and when the transfer takes place. Perhaps Dick might like to put a point or two in here as well. The transfer takes place over a period of time from the A-series to these B-series satellites.
Yes, okay. We're into the planning phase of that at the moment. It looks like we're going to do it around December of this year. But basically what we do is fly the A-series and B-series satellites in fairly close formation, and then we'll just cut over the services, turn off the A-series transponder and turn on the B-series ones. So the customers will see a very short break in their services. They transfer from one satellite to the other.
How short?
We'll be doing that in about December of this year.
Right. How short a break in service, though, if one was wishing for continuous service from A to B?
We'll do it in the middle of the night, so it won't jump too much, but it should be the order of a minute or so. It all depends on what the customer's requirements are.
Fine.
We can do it in a very short amount of time, but we'd like to keep a little, being an operations person, keeping a little bit of time up our sleeves.
Graham, that A-series, three satellites, of course, have stood us in such good stead for a number of years now. What happens to them?
Okay, the limiting thing on the A-series satellite is the fuel, which means the satellites have performed perfectly all of their life and they're just unfortunately running out of fuel. There's nothing we can do about that. We'll use the last remaining kilogram or so of fuel to raise the energy of the orbit of the satellite so it flies a little bit higher than geosynchronous, approximately 80 to 100 kilometres above geosynchronous. The satellites will stay there for hundreds of years. In fact, they won't decay at all. It'll stay up out of the geostationary orbit, which is a very treasured position in space.
Back to you for a moment, if we could, Graham. Just before we go to the launch, let me check over my shoulder that we have 5 minutes and 46 seconds to go from now. Graham, so those satellites have stood us in good stead, haven't they? What can we expect to be different from these?
Well, the new series satellites are replacement series, but they're a lot more powerful satellites. They've got the same number of transponders, but in addition to that, we've got an L-band package. We've got slightly different coverage on the ground, in particular our high-performance beam, which has been specifically designed for pay television. So it's quite an advancement, really. It's a lot more powerful transmissions from this satellite. A lot more services can be carried. So it's all around, it's an enhancement on what we've had before.
Okay. Graham, thank you. As you appreciate, as well as we here, we can rehearse nothing of what happens over the next little while, and we are standing by here with interested anticipation, as I know that you are as well, Graham, and especially, we can see the launch director there now, and especially the guys from Hughes and all of you people at RSAT, we wish you well. We all have our fingers crossed. We're going to concentrate on the pictures from China from now on, because it's important, and just those, to be honest with you, those letters kindly said a moment ago, Optus B1 direct telecast, and you will be interested that this telecast of these pictures is being joined by hundreds of millions of people because it's being shown on Chinese national television live, and the broadcast is being listened to on Chinese national radio live as well. So you are part of a television audience of hundreds of millions of people to see this Optus B1 satellite go up on the LM2E rocket, of course, with that Hughes 601 satellite putting it into orbit. So would you stay on the line with us, Graham, if you wouldn't mind, and of course feel free to let us know that you'd like to say something. It's very difficult for us to keep the communication line open to you, but we're zooming in on the pictures of the top of the nose cone of the rocket now, so Dick and I will stay and consider what happens here. You can see the letters LM2E, and you can also see the top of the nose cone, which I understand but haven't confirmed is made out of wood, and that holes in there. And we're looking at the Mission Control Center now, which, of course, is peopled by many, many people from the Hughes organization. We might be able to identify some of those people who are sitting down at the front left-hand side there. The very left-hand side of the picture there, we were looking at Gordon Pike, who's been an integral part of the Optus spacecraft procurement management. He's the Optus chief for the launch up there. He's your senior representative, isn't he, Dick? And we're just looking across this lovely Sichang Valley, from which in just a few minutes' time we're having the audio come through to us, the audio from China, and we'll leave it with the Chinese commentator.
It was first put into use in 1990 and is now the country's largest satellite launching facility. The Long March 2E, the extended version of the Long March 2 and the result of nearly 25 years of launch vehicle development, is the launch vehicle which will carry Optus B1 into low Earth orbit. Today's launch will be the second launch for a Long March 2E rocket and the 27th overall launch in the Long March series. The Long March 2E is equipped with four booster rockets strapped to the rocket's first stage, giving the first stage a combined 604 tons of vertical thrust. The LM2E has a payload capacity of carrying 9,200 kilograms to low Earth orbit.
Now, in the nose cone of the rocket, beneath the outer shell of the payload fairing, sits the Optus B1 telecommunications satellite and its Star 63F perigee kick motor. Now, we are now getting some sights of the mission control. Now, today's guests at Mission Control include senior officials of the China Great Wall Industry Corporation, which is the coordinator of tonight's launch, representatives of the Australian satellite company, Optus Communications, and, of course, representatives of America's Hughes Aircraft Company.
Observers include diplomatic representatives from the U.S. and Australia, as well as special guests from Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan.
Now, local spectators have been waiting for hours in anticipation of a spectacular view of the launch. It's now T-minus 60 seconds. The launch area has been cleared. We have good weather and clear skies. All systems are go. have become the last countdown, but ignition sequence has obviously started. Mission Control obviously trying to figure out what's wrong with the countdown, but ignition sequence has obviously been started. We're waiting for further information from Mission Control and from Xichang.
And obviously, after such anticipation for weeks and months, the word disappointment is an understatement. Whilst the ignition sequence commenced and we saw burning fury for a second or two only, there was no movement from the rocket, and as you appreciate, in that mission control centre, about a kilometre and a half along the valley from the rocket, unfortunately the LM2E has failed in its initial ignition sequence and has not left the ground. So sitting poised in the nose is the Bell 601 Optus B1 satellite, and we'll hear what the Chinese, the commentators in China have to say.
The four booster rockets were obviously ignited, and we are now still waiting for further information from Mission Control and from the launch site. Please stay tuned.
And with Dick Johnson here beside me, Dick, you might be able to just help us when we heard that commentator tell us that obviously they were the boosters which ignited, and if the rest can go, this payload of this size can't go without those boosters again, can it?
Yes, Paul, we're guessing a little, quite clearly. There are four main engines on the first stage of the rocket, and there are four boosters sitting outside the main casing, and all eight engines need to fire to provide the lift needed to move the rocket from the ground. It would appear from what's been passed to us over the line from China that perhaps all eight rockets didn't light.
We will, as soon as we can, see if Graham Brown and his colleagues at the OSAT, the Optus MCES at Belrose have any further information in their telemetric data. They may well have just some ability to give us a clearer indication from the Mission Control Centre. Indeed, Graham is there with us. Graham, that's obviously disappointing. We can see that written all over your face, sir. But do you have any better feeling for what may have happened than we do here?
No, not at this stage. I think all the information will have to come from China. I think I agree with Dick. It looks like not all the engines ignited, and they cancelled the... shut the rest of it down and cancelled the liftoff, which is the probably the proper thing. But that's all speculation. I could only see what you were seeing on the video. We'll have to wait and hear from China exactly what happened.
Great.
It looks like the Optus B satellite is quite safe.
Yes, that's the most important thing, isn't it? As disappointing as the launch is, it appears that everything's hunky-dory up the top end there,
yes,
Dick.
It would appear we still have a satellite to launch when we can get back around the loop again. And we'll hear some more in due course, as Graham said. Hopefully fairly quickly.
Excuse me, there's a gentleman. We'll go straight to China.
女士们、先生们、同志们，由于运载火箭
The gentleman who is now speaking is the general manager of the China Great Wall Industry Corporation.
中方主称包商，我们对此表示遗憾。我们将尽快的查明最终的原因，及时向用户通报情况，并且做好下一次卫星发射、卫星发射准备。谢谢各位。
General Manager of the Great Wall Industry Corporation, and he says that his company will make all the necessary measures to make up any of the mistakes, and we are still waiting for orders. Now it's now been decided that we'll stop this transmission, and we hope that we'll be with you soon in the future. This is Jian Qin, and this is my colleague Liu Hong saying goodbye from Beijing.
And goodbye to you as well, temporarily, sir. But thank you very much for explaining what little you were able to do. Did that enlighten you at all, Dick?
Not at all.
Next. Dick, all right, what is the future, seriously? Given that that launch has failed, where does Optus go from here?
Well, I think we'd have to speculate a little. Clearly there was a problem in the countdown. It's not apparent where it occurred. Clearly under those conditions, the Chinese will go back in, they'll look at all of their data, they'll determine what the problem was and they'll address it. And there will be another launch attempt in due course. That could be, one hopes, moderately quick, or it could take a little longer. But I think the important point, as Graham brought out, was that the satellite is safe and we can go around again.
OK, thank you for that, Dick. We've been joined by Bob Mansfield.
I just want to join him, so he's not his own.
Of course. Thank you for doing that,
Bob.
We appreciate that. That's nice teamwork, Bob. Obviously, you too are disappointed. Do you have a comment to make?
The only comment is, as I was forewarned by Dick and all the experts, this is the first one I've been to, not like many people in the audience, that you really are in the hands of the gods right at the end, and very disappointing. All I can say is whenever it is rescheduled, whenever we know more information, we'll tell you. And in between time, there's some good company and some good drink and some good food. And we hope people will enjoy that.
Thank you, Bob. That almost says it all for us tonight then, doesn't it? Thank you. I'm sure we'll be able to get together. But, Dick, thank you for your contribution. Bob, thank you. We wish you well. Of course, this will happen again, and it will be there, as you said, at some stage in the future. I wonder if you'd pass our best wishes on for the patience that your good colleagues at Belrose have shown and their assistance in presenting this program. Better luck next time, as we would say.
Thank you. We'll pass on the information when we know any more.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Well, we're going to, as you kindly said a moment ago, enjoy the hospitality of Optus Communications here in Sydney, with very best wishes to staff around Australia. And, of course, fingers crossed for next time. There will be one. And just as Bob said, as soon as we know any more about that, we, of course, will let you know. But thank you for being a part of this program this evening. Disappointing that might have been. And I look forward to you being with us when next we have a launch. And keep our fingers crossed for that one. Thank you. And good night.